joined by my co-host, Uncle Dig, who is a legal medical grower in Oregon and does some other stuff down that way. What's going on today, Uncle Dig?
Well, it is a beautiful, semi-warm fall day here in Southern Oregon. My whole harvest has been pulled in. There's some nice cloud cover. We had rain a couple days ago, and that cleared out almost 99% of the smoke, so I am breathing free and clear.
Yeah, it is nice, and the weather has kind of cleared up here. We had some rain and kind of getting that fall wind storms coming in, and really kind of looking forward to Halloween. And I'm just kind of thinking back to when I was a kid. We used to have a fall festival that we would go to down in Uri, Alabama, and on a farm they would have hay bales and kids would run around and have fun. And you know, they'd have that bobbing for apples and all the pumpkin carving contests. And then at night, the old dude would hook his trailer to a tractor and throw some hay in there. We'd go riding around on a haunted house hay bale ride. And it's just really nice to think back to that stuff and kind of get reminiscent, because it's not really going to be like that this year.
No. With COVID, everything's calmed down. There, even if you wanted to go to something like that, there's not as many options available, and everything's been socially distanced and stuff like that. So it's a good time to reminisce about some of the things you would do during autumn normally. I know when I grew up, our little local Methodist church would have a pumpkin patch where a guy would bring in a bunch of pumpkins on his pickup truck and set them out in the field for the kids to go pick up. And we had a hay ride too. No corn maze though. And we had some of the older kids would shoot skeet out behind the church. It was very Southern.
Yeah, that's interesting. Corn mazes, I actually never saw a corn maze or even heard of one until I moved to Washington.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was not a thing for some reason, because where I grew up in Southern Alabama, there was lots of cornfields, but we never had corn mazes. That will bring us to our first story, which is out of Forbes. And I'd like everybody to go take a look at this article of Forbes, because it does mention a Washington brand of cannabis food. But we don't want to mention brands right now on the air. It's a little fuzzy with advertising and things. So to be safe, we're not going to mention any brands. But there is some savory food movement going on right now in cannabis in Washington. And they had, and one of the things they mentioned were potato chips. And I got to tell you, Dig, it probably best not to put some cannabis infused potato chips around me, because I really like potato chips.
I get in trouble with edibles when they're not very good. I'll end up eating too many. So I can't imagine if you put some salted potato chips in front of me that also were infused. I don't know if I might get myself into trouble just like you would.
Yeah, and you can get into trouble with eating too many edibles. And that is because I've done a little research on this, and out of the Ohio Department of Health did an interesting study that said when you eat cannabis, it is 5 times more absorbent than when you inhale it. Now, inhaling will, of course, just like inhaling anything, like an asthma inhaler, and inhaling is sort of the gold standard of medication, but you don't get as much. It's not as absorbent for obvious reasons. When you eat it, it absorbs more, and you can get way higher when you do edibles. So it's really important to be careful with the edibles.
Yes. My first experiences with edibles actually turned me off to edibles for a number of years. My first edible experience was psychedelic in a way I was not prepared for. And it was unpleasant. And I didn't try edibles again for a number of years, like I said, because I was so taken aback by the experience. So novice consumers should keep in mind that even though smoking is, you know, technically probably bad for you, it can allow you to sober up faster than an edible will. So if you overdo it smoking, you may be in for an unpleasant experience for 2 hours. If you overdo it with edibles, you may be in for a day that's unpleasant.
Yeah, it can really affect you. And I have had at least one negative experience on edibles. And it was actually during a time when I was taking a lot of cannabis for a medical issue I was having. And so it was kind of doubly scary because I was having a medical issue and I was taking cannabis to kill some pain. And I took a little too much. But it actually, once I was able to get a handle on myself and figure out actually what was going on, it actually turned out to be a good thing because the medication actually took me out of the pain and it really numbed me up, and I was able to kind of harness the actual medicinal effects of the cannabis and use it the way it was supposed to. But I have done a lot of research and reading on this and kind of was able to get a handle on myself. But there is one group of the population that is unable to do that, and that is kids. And I just want to really quick say that if you are using cannabis and you are and you have kids around, or even if you don't have kids around, because, you know, adults can take cannabis by accident too, and as Dig and I just mentioned, can have negative consequences. So it's really important that you keep your cannabis put away. And if you have kids, especially these savory treats, gummy bears or gummies or anything, potato chips, all this stuff, please keep it up out of the hands of children. You want to put it in the very back of your refrigerator, and you want to write on it whatever it is, cannabis. You want to make sure that everybody knows that those brownies that you made or you got from the store are infused, because although cannabis has not ever killed anybody from an overdose, it can cause very negative effects. Our next article is on curing cannabis and how this affects the terpene content in the cannabis flower. And if you remember, terpenes are the volatile compounds on cannabis that give it its unique smell. And cannabis has a whole wide variety of these compounds, and they are what give each strain their effects. And a lot of times, you can go in the store and look on the packaging and pick the terpenes that you want to buy, but a lot of times you can't. And some of the terpenes mentioned in this article were myrcene, pinene, and then beta-pinene, and limonene. These are some of the terpenes that evaporate really quick off the flower. So they were saying a lot of times the best product to get if you want to get more terpene content would be the live resins. And you were saying there's an interesting graph on this article. Dig, you want to tell us about that graph?
Yes. This article is from Green Entrepreneur, and this is actually the first terpene article that's caught my attention. I don't pay much attention, or haven't paid much attention historically, to terpenes. They don't put them, it's not as common to have terpene levels on packaging here in Oregon, but usually you can smell the flower before you buy it. So as they say with terpenes, the nose knows. However, with COVID, I haven't been able to smell the cannabis I would like to purchase. So this is actually a really interesting article. And what's interesting about it is it says some of the specific terpenes that are affected by a cure time. And they went out 3 months on a cure. And then what interesting, a 3 month cure increases the levels of alpha terpenol, linalool, and alpha pinene. It slightly decreases the levels of limonene and decreases the levels of beta-myrcene, gamma-L-amine, and terpinolene. So that will change the medical benefits of your plant mildly and may account for why some growers and consumers prefer cured plants while others look forward to the harvest season when they could smoke freshy.
Yeah, it really all depends on the brand too. Everybody does this different. And I would say to the listeners, go out there and research some of these terpenes, and you can really get a different approach to using your cannabis. And you can say, hey, if I want to go to sleep, maybe I want to have a little extra myrcene. Or if you want to be uplifted, you would be wanting something more like a limonene. And so this is where the sativa and indica effects kind of come in, is between differentiating between these different terpenes. And I think what we should do is have a terpene expert in to tell us about some of these, because I cover these in some of the classes I teach, but they really it's really hard to get it into on the radio as far as all the effects of all these different terpenes. So let's look into having an expert on, Dick.
We should.
Okay, our next article comes out of the Keys down there in Florida, and lo and behold, they have been finding some keys in the keys of cannabis floating up on the beach.
This is one of my, the most interesting things, I think, when I think of Florida, is I think of small entrepreneurs secreting away accidentally dumped bags of weed and selling it to their high school buddies.
It is interesting, and it is a thing. I've spent a fair amount of time in Florida, in the Pensacola area, and then my parents' family were from Cocoa Beach in the Cocoa area, which is over on the East Coast. And my cousin and my uncles and people would always talk about, oh, well, we had some cannabis, big bales of it washed up on the beach. And in the Keys, they found some 30-pound bales, and then they found 8 pounds, and then another day they found 23 pounds. And this has just been something that's been going on. I think over the summer, in the past couple months, they said they found like a total of 150 pounds in other places in the state.
I wonder if a cigarette boat sunk.
Our next story takes us back to the South, and this time in Memphis, Tennessee, but it's actually West Memphis, which is in Arkansas. And we talked about 2 weeks, Arkansas is having a boom right now in the cannabis industry. $140 million sold just this year. And now they're going to open up another cannabis store in West Memphis. And if you've ever been to this part of the world, you're driving through Arkansas and you get into a little place called West Memphis, and then there's a bridge, and then boom, you're in Memphis, which is in Tennessee. But right over the border, they have 3 medical cannabis shops open there. And Arkansas sort of has a unique way to regulate cannabis. They've split the state up into zones.
Yeah, they have. And it's really, and first seeing it, it was jarring to look at. And each zone has a preset number of dispensaries that are allowed in each zone. I think the number is 4. And this is an older thing from the article, and it says that it should be available in April. And it looks like that this newest dispensary that's opened up, we're not going to say the name because we're on the radio, but it's in that part of West Memphis, and they're excited to open. It looks like they have community support, which may be unusual in some of these redder states.
Yeah, and this is a really interesting trend that's going on, because Florida passed medical cannabis, and Mississippi is about to pass medical cannabis, or they're going to try to. And Alabama, they have passed medical cannabis, but they haven't implemented the system. Georgia also has some type of high CBD cannabis, but the one in Arkansas is a full plant. And it's just really interesting how these border states are sort of slowly loosening up cannabis laws in the states around them. Because I haven't been down to Alabama recently, but I can imagine that right there on the border with the medical cannabis, some people are crossing the border to get their medical cannabis. And so I think some of the states are just wising up and saying, hey, why don't we tax this and get some of this money too?
Well, and the South, for by hook or by crook, is notoriously business friendly. And when the money starts coming, and before they couldn't really see the money, there was no legal avenue for them to see what the profits would be like. Now they are. And so now that anti-drug stance is going to come up against that pro-business stance, and we get to see which one wins in each state.
Uncle Dick's garden update. Hi guys, it's 9/19/2020, and this is Uncle Dig with a garden update. It was in the low 50s when I went out to do my garden chores. It was overcast, but the air was clean. I didn't water this morning, but I did rinse off my plants, as I have every day since the fire started. Because the smoke blocked out the light and raised the humidity, I didn't need to water much this week. In fact, I only watered on Friday and didn't get to do my Tuesday feeding until then. So the smoke has delayed my nutrient schedule by about 4 days, which is fine in the scheme of things. I found and killed one aphid on one of my seedlings. This is the same strain that I grew last year that I got aphids bad. I hope it doesn't have a genetic propensity for that pest. Today was the second day it has been really clear in my neck of the woods, and it is hard to be in here recording this for you when I really want to be out staring at my buds growing. This is always a really special time of year for outdoor cannabis. The first harvests are happening, your plants are maturing and putting off any of the shocking colors that cannabis can put on its flowers. rich, ultra bright greens, dark, almost black purples, red, orange, even pink. This is the time of year when we are putting less work into the plants and more work into prepping for harvest. It is also a time when some outdoor growers transition indoors. This week, I popped some purple panty dropper bag seeds using the paper towel method, and they are currently growing in my tiny grow tent, ready for a winter harvest, hopefully. Bag seed is cannabis seed that you found in cannabis you bought or was given to you. It can display varying degrees of difference from its parent plant, and it would probably be advisable for new growers to purchase stable genetics. But I like to live dangerously. I also enjoy free seeds. The paper towel method is the best way to ensure maximum seed germination. Take how many seeds you want to germinate and soak them in water from 12 to 18 hours. If they sink immediately, throw them out. However, if they float, and then when you check on them hours later, they sink, fold them in a paper towel and put them in a blown-up sandwich baggie. Check every 24 hours. When little tails pop out of the seeds, plant them tail down in some seed starter. Keep it moist and wait for the magic to happen. Well, that's it for my garden update. Thanks, Lucas. Let's overgrow the world.
Yeah, thanks, Dig. Another fascinating garden update from Southern Oregon. It's really interesting to hear all your different growing techniques and the things you're up to. And two of the things that kind of jumped out at me in that Dig garden update was you're talking about your watering schedule. And then the other one was how you pop seeds. And I'll talk about the popping seeds here in a second. But your watering schedule is really interesting because it's easier to do in Oregon and a little more difficult to do here in Washington outdoors. But indoors, you can do it. The cannabis plant likes to get their roots dried out. And so when they get watered, it's really important that you make sure that all the water is sucked up in the roots before you water it again. And it's really, especially if you got little plants, because you can get something called root rot if you put too much water on it. So you really want to monitor your water, and you want to put on as little as possible right at first. And a way to do this, if you're growing in pots, it's a little more difficult if you're growing in the ground, but it's not necessarily something you really need to worry about as much if you're in the ground. But in a pot, the way you want to do this, if you just go up to the pot and you just lift it up, you can feel if it's heavy, you don't want to water it. If it's light, kind of like right when you first put the dirt in there with the plant, that's when you want to put a little bit of water on it.
Correct, correct. And there's a few other methods that you can use to check moisture. You can use the first two knuckles of your fingers. If you put your finger in the pot, this is in a bigger outdoor pot, you put your finger in the pot down to the second digit, and if you don't feel any moisture at all, it's probably time to water. But if you feel moisture down there, it might be a good idea to wait. But down here in Southern Oregon, it gets up into the hundreds during the summer, and you need to water every day or they'll dry out completely. I've had plants droop in a matter of hours. It's crazy.
Yeah, and anybody who's ever had a cannabis stem, you can easily see this, that the stem is hollow up the middle. And so a cannabis plant is very reactive to water. So if that thing dries out and you let it dry out too much, it'll kill the plant. The leaves will dry out and it will kill it. And the next thing that was really interesting in your update there was how you pop seeds. I take a little different approach. I have tried the paper towel method, but I'm legally blind, so it's really hard when that seed pops out with the little tail on it to know. And it's so fragile that the couple times that I've tried it, I end up breaking the root off. And so the way I do it, and I use the same thing with the knuckles, but I just use the first digit, mm-hmm. is I just do it just in a little pot, old school style, and just stick my finger. Well, I guess the paper towel method is old school too, admittedly. I just put my finger down in the pot, about one knuckle, and then drop the seed in and cover it up. But the thing with that is you want to keep your soil really moist. And so you got to keep your soil, you want to water that soil every day and keep it drenched. And then another way I do it is, which will cost you a little money, is you go to the garden store and you get some of these little garden cubes. And you can just, if you want to pop more than just a couple seeds, you can put the garden cubes into like a tray of water. Mm-hmm. And then every other garden cube, or every third one, probably might be a little better. Every third one, you can drop your seed in there. And then if you keep those garden cubes moist, then those seeds will pop up out of that too.
Yeah, I've never tried the garden cube method. I'm pretty sold on soil, but planting directly in soil can remove a little bit of work. And if you can't handle that that small taproot when it's really young, and it's hard to handle when you can see it. I've broken them off before. So I can imagine that if you couldn't see it very well, it'd be almost impossible to plant it in that manner.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine who does it with tweezers, and he gets in there really precise and does it. So you can do it. Another thing to consider that when you do it in the soil, it's a little harder because it's, one of the problems I have with the soil is you just don't quite know. You're like, okay, was the seed bad or did I not water it enough? However, in the spring, around May 15th or something, if you put a seed in there and keep it good and watered, it should be popped up by the 1st of June. So then you pretty much know. So in the spring, it's a little different putting it in dirt if you do it outdoors. You want to make sure that soil gets nice and warm, and then you have a proper growing medium there.
Yeah, yeah. It's important, too, that you don't want to go too rich with your growing medium starting out when you're just starting the plant. It doesn't need much. That's why there are dedicated seed starter soils you can buy. And honestly, any seed starter that you would plant a tomato in initially is probably fine to start a cannabis plant in.
Our final segment on the show is it's a bust segment. And this week we're going to go over to the UK and we're going to talk about a story I first saw on Facebook. I have a couple friends of mine that live in the UK. One is actually a certified cannabis, I don't want to say technician, but is going to be a cannabis naturopath. But another guy shared this, and I thought this was kind of funny, and everybody was laughing at it too. The police in the UK, and you can tell us the town, Dig. The police over there in the UK, they busted two little teeny tiny plants. And they were so proud of it, they put it up on the internet, and they did bust the people with the plants.
Yeah, this was kind of a funny one. When I first saw this, I was kind of like, wait, what? So they're literally two little 2-inch planters. One has a maybe 4-inch tall seedling in it. And the other one's got like a long spindly one that needs to be up potted yesterday. They busted some poor person's like first time experimental grow, it looks like. And if those were to flower now, you probably only get a couple joints off of them. It was nothing. It's laughable. And even the people on Twitter from Birmingham in the UK who were watching that were making fun and mocking the Birmingham police.
All right, that's our show for this week. Thanks for tuning in, and it was great to spend this time with you guys talking about cannabis. Tell us how we can get in touch with you, Dig.
Yeah, you can get in touch with me at UncleDig4@gmail.com or on Instagram at UncleDigDug.
This is Cannabis Corner, hosted by Lucas Barfield. If you would like to get in contact with your host, he is on Twitter at MJIsMedicine. Your musical selection is The Happy Monster by Chubby Jackson and his orchestra, recorded on 78 in 1947. You can find this music and much more at The Great 78 Project, an archive of historical music recordings at great78.archive.org. You are listening to 101.9 KTAH Radio Tacoma. Thank you.